Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we discuss and consider following Jesus and think of it as a lifelong journey by faith. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us in all the things we do, who takes what we read in the Bible and turns it into life-giving food for our souls. Please be with us here today, so that we can learn to live for you more effectively and glorify you as we do so. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the first three verses, then verse 6, and then from verse 8 to 16, and I'm reading from the NIV. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Today I would like to remind us of our lives as Christians, that it is a lifelong journey by faith. Faith in the God of the Bible, who has invited us to journey with him. It's a walk of faith, a battle of inches, a journey that continues for a lifetime. At the same time, it has been and continues to be filled with not only immensely difficult moments, but many great and exciting things as we walk with God. All that God calls us to is perseverance and determination, to not give in, but to hold on to God and his promises. As we do, we will certainly recognize the hand of God, not only in our personal lives, but in the life of his church. Because one thing is for sure, a foundation has been laid here that stretches back through the decades. It is God's work, and it will continue to move forward. Only we must hold on and persevere. I think most of us are familiar with the name Robert Moffat. Well, he was born in 1795 and died in 1883. He was a Scottish missionary to South Africa and a translator of the Bible. He arrived in 1820 at the Cape Colony and was, over time, to become one of the most influential missionaries of the century. It was he who inspired David Livingstone to become a missionary to Africa. It was he who translated the Gospel of Luke in 1830 and the whole of the New Testament in 1840 into Tswana, thus making it one of the first African languages to be written. Now, in a book edited by their son, called The Life of Robert and Mary Moffat, he tells of the hardships that people don't often get to hear about. There was a time when they did mission work in Botswana. For 10 years, the early mission in Botswana, the then Bechuana land, was carried on without a single convert. The directors at home began to question the wisdom of continuing the mission. A friend from England finally sent word to Mrs. Moffat asking what gift she should send out to her. And the brave woman wrote back, "Send a communion service. It will be sure to be needed." At last, the breath of the Lord moved on the heart of the Botswana people. A little group of six were united into the first Christian church, and that communion service from England, singularly delayed, reached Kuruman just one day before the appointed time for the first administration of the Lord's Supper. How close they came to giving up! How close they came to missing the beginning of something which had taken so long to bear fruit! There was also a person by the name of Kevin Smith who once said, "Sometimes the path you're on is not as important as the direction you're heading." In other words, for the child of God, where you find yourself right now on your journey of faith is important, but it's not nearly as important as the main direction your life is heading in. So while we may go through periods that seem dry, that perhaps do not yield specific results at a time when we think results should appear, what is important is that we walk faithfully with God. This is a journey of a lifetime that comes to us because we are in Christ. And so here are a few things for us to think about. Firstly, we need to always bear in mind that a lifelong journey of this nature always requires faith in God our Father. The reason for this is because life comes complete with valley and mountaintop experiences, as I mentioned earlier. Or to use another analogy, deserts and wonderful places of plenty. We know this to be true because the Bible is full of the stories of men and women who experienced life with God in very much the same way. And here in our reading we have Abraham, whose life is no different. I wonder what he would say if he met some of our modern-day famous and rich preachers who profess that you can have what you say if you say it with faith. Nonetheless, we see in our reading that many of the expectations that Abraham held so dearly in his heart were not realized in his lifetime. The final fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham is realized at the cross, where all those who belong to the church are called children of Abraham. See what Paul says to the church in Romans chapter 9, verse 8. "In other words," said he, "it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Because like him, we live by faith, and God declares us righteous on the basis of that faith expressed in the saving work of Jesus on the cross." So what did Abraham do when he saw no results, when the promises of God did not materialize? Well, we know that in the early part of his journey he made a proper mess of things a number of times, and even tried to help God fulfill his promise of a son, and in the process actually brought confusion into his life with the arrival of Ishmael. How often have we been impatient and forced matters, and all we ended up with was the results of human effort that bore little or no resemblance to God's plans and purposes for our lives? The good news is that in the end, Abraham had learned to walk with God by faith and stay the course for his lifetime. It seems he must have learned that sometimes the path you're on is not as important as the direction you're heading. It would also seem that Abraham came to know the direction he was heading in, even if he could not put his finger on an exact geographical destination. He had a burning in his heart, this thing, the promises of God. And so the Bible tells us that he pitched his tent like a nomad in a foreign land, a land that God had given him by promise, but was not yet his. So what of you and I? When the going gets tough, do we have the promises of God burning in our hearts that help us to believe that he is able to keep us and preserve us, that help us to believe that we will complete the race we are running, that help us to believe also that God will remain faithful to the end, that our prayers are not in vain, Are these the things burning in our hearts? What God looks for in us then is a heart willing to trust Him and stay in that place of faith while we're in the valleys and also on the mountaintops, that we will remain committed to our walk with Him, all the time seeking to live as consistently as possible as His people and with a certain tenacity. The second thing to remember is this, that there is a place where faith commits and no longer considers turning back. I would think that this is a point of real maturity, because maturity is not reflected in what we know about God, but how far we will journey with God, down paths that are sometimes hard and very trying. So we read in verses 13 to 16 that they agreed that they were no more than foreigners and nomads here on earth, and obviously people who talk like that are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had meant the country that they came from, they would have found a way back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. It comes when we start to grasp more deeply that this life of faith is indeed a journey, not a weekend event, not an optional thing we do, but a total commitment of self to God's purposes. There is, it seems, a burning of bridges as well, a place where God's people have to set their hearts on a city that does not exist here on earth, a place where nothing else matters except pressing on to the fulfillment of God's will for our lives. And I wonder if this point of no return did not come when Abram's name changed from Abram, meaning exalted father, to Abraham, father of a multitude. It was the moment of God confirming His covenant with Abraham. And so in closing, it is important to think about this thing we call the will of God. It is about our lives being shaped around God's purposes as revealed in Scripture. It is also about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, meaning that we live in such a way that God's rule and reign comes first in our thinking and doing. This is why James speaks like he does to the church in chapter 4, verse 13, and says, "Look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? For your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that," meaning that we know the will of God to some extent at least. Without doubt, living like this is a challenge for many of God's people, especially when it comes to making important life choices. This then, in a nutshell, is the journey that takes a lifetime and is not handed to us any old how, for God carefully crafts our journey of faith so that Christ-like character is formed in us. Our part is to hold on in deep trust and to never throw in the towel. We can be certain that we may have our overall destination in mind, but we sometimes never are completely sure of the route. The life of the believer is never over. It takes a lifetime to begin to look a little like Christ, but it's worth every step of the journey, knowing that nothing on earth will match the destination that God has for us. May God help us with our faith so that we may be faithful in everything. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for the life that we have in Christ, Your Son. Help us to stay the course and not to give in or to give up. Help us to defer to You about how we live in this world. Save us from the temptation to do things in our own strength, we pray. Would You give us the courage to throw ourselves on Your mercies, which are new every morning, to live by the power of Your Spirit, and so be a witness to those around us. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.